This travel show is brought to you by Ted Blank, Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure, and we are looking ahead to next year. Already, we are?
Already, I know. Hard to believe. I live such an odd life because, you know, here it is getting to be spring in Minnesota, and I'm already looking ahead to next winter when it's going to be cold again.
I have other friends that are in other industries, and that's the same thing. I have a friend that has a small dress boutique, and she's always, you know, talking about the new sweaters coming out
for fall, because that's what she has to order them. Yeah, so we all live in the future.
We live in the future. Well, I want to live in the present, and I am enjoying the fact that maybe spring is finally going to come to Minnesota. But is this the time of year that things start to slow down for you? Do they pick up? I don't really understand your industry.
Yeah, it's an interesting time because, you know, we're kind of on the tail end of the spring break travel season.
Okay.
So most people who plan spring breaks plan them in the fall, you know, so they plan them in the fall and now they're kind of coming home from their travels. You know, we know, all of us know people who are out on spring break right now, or they were last week, or they're going next week or something like that. So it's kind of the tail end of that winter spring travel season. And for travel, planning kind of gets put on hold about the time Memorial Day rolls around, because summer's here, people go to their cabins, they have kids in sports, they do other things.
Okay.
So between now and Memorial Day will be a busy time with, you know, wrapping up plans, putting trips on the books for this year, planning things for next year. Then in the summer, for me, that's the time when I have a lot of folks traveling, because I have people going to Alaska.
Oh, yes.
You know, I probably have over 100 people going to Alaska over the course of this summer. So that's a busy time because, you know, they have last minute questions. We want to make sure we've got every, you know, all the details taken care of. And in Europe, you know, summer is the prime time for Europe.
Oh, sure.
And then by fall, people are still traveling. And by once Labor Day rolls along, you know, Labor Day weekend is usually kind of a quiet weekend, but that Tuesday after Labor Day, usually my phone rings off the hook. Oh, you know, we were up at the lake talking, and time to start planning this trip. So,
oh, don't you love that?
Yeah. So it's a seasonal business, but it doesn't line up with the seasons of the,
that you're in,
the seasons we're actually living in. Yep.
So I know that people are going to start talking about spring travel even for next year. And I do think that that is one of the things that I always do. I always like to think if I'm on a trip of some sort, I'm always nexting to
it's
my...
It's very true. Yeah. Somewhere I read a statistic where somewhere in the realm of about 60% of people book their next trip within 1 month of returning from their previous trip.
There you go.
And I can tell you that that's very, very true. You know, I'll give people a call when they get back from a trip and I'll say, hey, how was it? You know, love to hear your feedback. And it's very rare that I don't walk away from that phone call with a couple ideas of, oh, we'd like to go here next, or, you know, somebody we were traveling with said this, or, you know, that sounds really neat, can we get some more information?
Or we want to go back and do the exact same thing.
Or we want to go back and do the exact same thing.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, Ted, I love this. So where are some of the places that we maybe should look ahead for just planning purposes next year?
Yeah, so one of the places that's kind of a popular destination for folks who maybe have a little more time to travel, you know, maybe 10 to 14 days, and it's also a bucket list trip for a lot of people, is to take a cruise that goes through the Panama Canal.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, of course, the Panama Canal connects the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, and it opened in like 1901. I think I actually wrote a paper about it in 6th or 7th grade.
Look,
so I'm
going
to have to really now dig back into the big dig into the deep recesses of my mind.
I would love to read that paper.
There was a PBS special actually about it.
When you were a kid?
When I was a kid, and Stephen Ambrose wrote a book about the Panama Canal. And so that's what prompted me to write this paper, because it was kind of a topical thing. But yeah, the Panama Canal, it's one of those engineering, you know, man-made wonders
of the world. Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people have on their bucket list the opportunity to see it and to travel through it. And so we should probably first say that it's, in some ways, it's actually very similar to the Lock and Dam that's just, you know, just up the street here. But it's also very different because it's on a much, much, much larger scale. And the Panama Canal stretches from the Atlantic to the Pacific. It's probably about 60 miles. And it takes a full day, you know, basically dawn to dusk to transit the canal.
So can you tell me why we had to have the Panama Canal?
Well, otherwise the alternative was that ships that wanted to go between the Atlantic and the Pacific would have had to sail all the way around the tip of South America. So that would add weeks to the journey. And by putting the Panama Canal in place, it made for much, much more efficient trade. So, you know, in the same way that sort of the invention of the airplane revolutionized the world, the Panama Canal, the Suez Canal were both built, you know, within 30, 40 years of each other. That really revolutionized trade at the, you know, turn of the last century.
So I can't remember the history, and I didn't write a paper like you did in sixth grade, but was the land together, and then they
yeah,
had
it was
to
basically it
out?
Was basically a strip of land
okay.
that they had to dig through. Now there were some lakes and rivers
okay,
along the way, yeah, but basically they had to excavate
60 miles.
Yeah. So the Panama Canal. So the Panama Canal and the Suez Canal are actually different. That's another one that people have on their bucket lists. The Suez Canal is just flat. It's just a channel of water. There are no locks or no dams anywhere on the Suez Canal.
Oh.
But the Panama Canal has two sets of locks. One on the Atlantic side. So if you're coming from the Atlantic, like if you got on a cruise in Florida, traveled through the Caribbean, got to the Panama Canal, you go up several series of locks. You go up, you know, several hundred feet in a big cruise ship. So it's kind of an impressive experience. And then you sail through a really big lake. It's called Gatun Lake. And it's partially natural, partially artificial. And because of all the rain down in South America or Central America, that's where the water comes to operate the locks, to fill the locks up. It comes from this artificial lake. So you sail through that, and then in the evening you go back down. But it takes several hours to go through the locks. And you may have seen that they recently opened some new larger locks as well in the canal. So you might go through the new larger locks. You might go through the old original locks that were built around 1900.
How did they do that?
Very impressive. There's a book. I think it was a Stephen Ambrose book about the Panama Canal. That's, if you're going to go on a Panama Canal cruise, you definitely want to read it. But it's just a neat experience because, you know, you're on a cruise ship. You're going through these locks, so you're very, very close. You know, the seamanship to maneuver the ship is quite impressive. And then you sail through this tropical lake and sort of this tropical river system, so, you know, you can almost reach out and touch the sides and see the jungle. And then you also see all the shipping traffic because the Panama Canal is busy. You know, the locks are never empty. They're always
ships. Well, it's a shortcut for everybody.
It's a shortcut for everybody. So there's full of ships, you know, carrying containers and grain and automobiles and, you know, whatever ships carry. So it's a really impressive experience. And it's, you know, it's one full day of just kind of being outside and watching it unfold. And it's interesting because it's a place that a lot of men have on their bucket list. And sometimes, you know, like other places are higher on women's bucket list. But the Panama Canal, you know, both like to do it. But it's often men who say, this is something I really want to see. Because it's got this neat engineering component to it that's really, really cool to see. And so, yeah, it's a very popular destination. And it's another place where, you know, if you want to go through the canal, you have to get on a ship to do it. So it's a perfect place to cruise.
So are there many, many different ways to do this?
There are several.
Besides being a riverboat captain?
There are several. So you could buy your own freighter and, you know, go into business for yourself. But most people will take a cruise. And there are kind of two basic categories of cruise. There are some adventure cruises, really small ships, you know, 40, 50 passengers, that actually spend the winter season based in Panama.
Okay.
And they'll not only sail through the Panama Canal, and they might take 2 or 3 days to do it. They do a really in-depth trip. You're going to stop. You're going to see some of the nature. Get off the ship and see the nature in the area,
okay.
You know, the natural forests and stuff like that, the wildlife. And then they go to some islands in the Atlantic that are sort of almost undiscovered, unspoiled islands. They're called the San Blas Islands. Or they'll head up the coast to Costa Rica, which is just a little bit north of Panama. And again, that jungle kind of tropical rainforest experience.
So for people listening at home, I would highly recommend you Googling the Panama Canal so you can kind of follow along Ted is saying, because I'm doing that right now, and I guess I didn't realize it was such a series of...
Yeah, it's quite an intricate system.
Yes.
It's a whole system, you know, because it has to have water to operate. So it's a very, very intricate intricate system. And the stories of how it was built are part of what you learn on a Panama Canal cruise.
Oh, I would assume,
you know, there'll
right.
be experts on board who kind of explain it and help interpret it. The other way to do it is to do it on a more of a traditional ship. And so sometimes those cruises operate kind of in the very late fall and the very late spring as ships are moving from Alaska to the Caribbean for the winter season.
Sure.
So sometimes they're kind of what we would call a repositioning
yes.
cruise. But then also throughout the winter, so, you know, throughout November, December, January, February, March, April, there are regular cruises. Typically they start in Florida.
Okay.
So in Miami or Fort Lauderdale. And they'll end in either San Diego, Los Angeles, or San Francisco.
Wow.
And they'll run 10 to 14 days. And I think they're a really cool cruise, even if you took the Panama Canal kind of out of the mix, but that's the reason why we want to go. Because you get a Caribbean cruise, then you go through the Panama Canal.
Right.
And then you get to cruise up the west coast of Mexico. You know,
completely
and stop in places
different.
Like, yeah, completely, completely different. So you get to visit places like Puerto Vallarta, Cabo San Lucas, where the whales go
yes.
in the winter. So a lot of people, they'll do a trip to Alaska, do a cruise to Alaska, and their next cruise is actually the Panama Canal. So they're kind of chasing those whales because some of the whales from Alaska go down to the Sea of Cortez. The other ones go to Hawaii, which is
poor
a whole
whales.
Different thing. So pull those poor
stalkers.
Whales. Yeah, but it is a really popular option for people who have gone to Alaska
mm-hmm.
or maybe people who have done a Caribbean cruise and they want to do something a little longer with a little bit more of a focus on a destination, although you still get plenty of opportunity to just kind of soak in the sun.
I just can't even imagine how cool that would be.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing that's really neat is that there are also cruises that go all the way around the world. And almost all of them will pass through the Panama Canal.
Really?
Yeah. So if you want to kind of check the entire world off your bucket list, including the Panama Canal, that's an option as well.
And that is, what, is that a six-month cruise?
Three to four months. Many of them offer segments, so you can go on a shorter segment
sure.
of it. So some of them will actually offer like a New York City to Los Angeles Panama Canal cruise.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, some very, very cool options.
How far out do they go into the ocean?
So, in the Caribbean, they're full-blown ocean
sure.
cruises. You know, you
but
sail.
Like, let's say as you come down from New York to the Florida.
Oh, you won't see land.
You won't see land.
Yeah, because if you look, you know, the U.S. kind of, it's not a straight shot. It sort of tilts inland.
Are you talking because the earth is round? Is that where we're going?
No, this is the coastline.
Is that your
straight.
Seventh grade?
No. You know, I did much better in history than in science. So I know the world is round, but that's about where my knowledge
okay.
stops. And I know water flows downhill.
Yes, that
that's
I've
why
heard.
The Panama Canal works. But now we're done. This is all I know. But that is one of the neat things, I think, about the Panama Canal.
Wow.
Is that the, as I said, people will come on board and help you understand how things work.
Right.
So when you're in Gatun Lake and you see these giant cisterns full of water, you understand what it is and why it works. That, to me, is part of a really neat vacation. You get
I
to
agree.
Relax. You get to enjoy. You get to go to some of the less visited Caribbean ports,
yes.
typically, like maybe Aruba, Curacao. A lot of cruises now stop in northern Colombia, and Colombia has really undergone kind of a tourist renaissance in the last probably 10 years or so, and it has some beautiful Spanish architecture, really interesting kind of indigenous culture there, and so the ports in northern Colombia have become really popular cruise destinations, and the only way you'd see them is on either a long, like a two-week Caribbean cruise, or on a Panama Canal cruise.
So we could take our choice of either starting in
Florida.
Oh, you start in Florida for
Florida
sure?
Or California.
Okay.
You can start either way.
And then you just kind of make a half
make a
circle.
Big V, kind of a half
a
circle.
V? Okay.
Yep. And then, you know, the nice thing is that both Florida and California are pretty easy flights.
Yes.
So, you know, you can go on a really, really exotic, distant cruise that starts or ends in
it's
the
It's easy
United
to
States.
Get there, right?
It's easy to get to. And, you know, it makes sense to go down a day early, but if there's a problem with your flight to Florida, there's another one in a few minutes,
right.
so you don't have to worry too much about it, versus going overseas where the flights are a little more complicated and not as many options in between. So it's a great choice for people who want to do something kind of exotic, a little longer. Like I said, 10 days minimum, most are 14 days, but start and end in the U.S., which makes it a really simple from a travel perspective, very easy trip, short flights.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just thinking about spring break. If you're looking even as like a family, you always do have at least 10 days off because you're counting the weekends.
Yeah, if we could find one that works with the schedule, if we could find one that works with the schedule, that would be certainly doable. You know, once you get beyond kind of the 7-day cruise, you tend to see very, very few children. It tends to mostly be for adults, for grown-ups. And, you know, many people, the Panama Canal is actually their very first cruise. They have the bucket list of seeing the canal, and they're like, well, guess we got to try a cruise because that's the only way to get there. Then they fall in love with cruising, and yet may as well. Then they fall in love, and they're back again. But for a lot of people, it's a second or a third or a fourth cruise. And, you know, I love to talk to people who've cruised before and really understand what they liked and didn't like about the experience because there are so many cruise brands out there. You know, my job is to help you find the one that's the
best
for you.
Tell about that.
Yeah. So, you know, cruising is a big industry. And there are, what, probably 15 to 20 different cruise lines out there. They're all so different.
And they offer different experiences. And I don't think most people know that, Teddy.
No, because we know what we've seen on TV, which is the ads for the couple really, really big brands, which that can be a great starting point. But, you know, you can go through the Panama Canal on a genuine, full-blown sailing ship, a tall ship with four masts and sails.
What?
Or you can go through on a little boutique yacht that carries 80 passengers, and it's almost like your own private yacht, and everything in between. And so there are so many options out there that I can help, you know, understand what it is that you like and steer you to the right one. And in many cases, it's a cruise line that you may not have even heard of because, you know, they're just a smaller operation. They're not going to spend the money on those types
of big advertising campaigns.
So they're not at the top of people's minds, but oftentimes they offer.
And they don't want to be, probably.
They don't want to be. No, they don't want to be. And oftentimes they, you know, they offer just an incredible experience. And when you start to get into the world of smaller ship cruising, you know, 80 to 500 passengers, so many options.
I love
it. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is not too early to start thinking.
No, in fact, this is a really good time to be planning.
Because you can be picky,
Panama Canal.
Right?
You can be picky. You'll have your choice of cabins. You'll have your choice of cruises. And Panama Canal cruises, like I said, they start up about November 1st. So, you know, we're really only about 6 months away from the start of the season. I've also seen the 2024-2025 Panama Canal season. That's starting to be on sale now. And, you know, I know a lot of people will say, wow, that's really, really far into the future. You know, I just booked a cruise yesterday for some folks in January of 2025. This particular one happens to be in Australia. It's a cruise to Australia and New Zealand. And I would say the ship was probably already about 60% full.
Wow.
Which is really hard to believe. And so planning ahead, definitely to your advantage. We can book that cruise, and then when flights become available, we can come back and take a look and, you know, add those on and get the flight schedules that we want to have and, you know, arrange a little time before the cruise or after the cruise. You know, if you've never been to San Diego, interesting city, you might want to spend a few days there. If you're heading down to Florida, well, you know, you might as well spend a few days on the beach before you get on the cruise, at least in my opinion. And so we can put something together that's very customized for you, built around the cruise, and make it a full vacation experience.
I know you just enjoy chatting with people. How will people get a hold of you, please?
Yes, yeah, so the best way to get a hold of me is to give me a call at 651-964-8245. And I've been meeting a lot of folks in Hastings for coffee. So that's a really good way to get together and chat about a vacation and give you my undivided attention.
Wow.
Or you can visit my website at tedblanktravel.com.
Love this. So great to see you.
Good to see you.
Happy travels.
Thank you.
And you are listening to another edition of The Travel Show with your host, Ted Blank of Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventure. This travel show has been brought to you by Ted Blank Luxury Travel and Adventures.
Somewhere beyond the sea.